Please turn to the back of your hymn book, page 82. I'd like to read you from the Belgian Confession, article 27, and then we're going to open the Word of God to John chapter 10. Belgian Confession, article 27. The title on the top is The Catholic Christian Church. Boys and girls, sometimes that can sound rather confusing, right? When you see that word Catholic, you may think that we are Roman Catholic. That is not the case. We are not Roman Catholic, but we are Catholic. Catholic simply means universal. And so we do believe in a universal church. And that's what this article is about, the Catholic, the universal Christian church. We believe and profess one Catholic or universal church, which is a holy congregation of true Christian believers, all expecting their salvation in Jesus Christ, being washed by his blood, sanctified and sealed by the Holy Spirit. This church has been from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof, which is evident from this, that Christ is an eternal King, which without subjects he cannot be. And this holy church is preserved or supported by God against the rage of the whole world, though it sometimes for a little while appears very small, and in the eyes of men to be reduced to nothing, as during the perilous reign of Ahab, the Lord reserved unto him 7,000 men who had not bowed their knees to Baal. Furthermore, this holy church is not confined, bound, or limited to a certain place or to certain persons, but is spread and dispersed over the whole world, and yet is joined and united with heart and will by the power of faith in one and the same Spirit. Please open your Bibles now to the New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 10. Where we read about Jesus, the true shepherd of the sheep. John chapter 10, read verses 1 through 21, and we're going to focus on verses 14 through 21. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you pick up a newspaper and look under church listings, you can often find everything from United Church of Canada to Anglican, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Baptist, Wesleyan, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ, Church of the Nazarene, Seventh-day Adventist, Salvation Army, Unitarian Church, Roman Catholic, Baha'i, and several others. When you look in the religious section of many newspapers, you will often find a list of churches, cults, and spiritual movements who are as different from one another as day is from night. And yet they all claim the title Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to investigate the doctrinal teaching of those groups that are listed in your local newspaper, you would soon discover that some of them are pseudo-Christian cults. Others have held to historic Christianity in the past, but have sadly departed from it. And still there are others who maintain strong traditions, but they are not rooted in the Word of God. When I was in PEI last weekend, I saw a whole page of churches listed in the newspaper. And as I scanned through them, I couldn't help but wonder how many of them were still true to the Word of God. How many of them are still preaching the true message of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of them are firmly committed to God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word? And yet we know, brothers and sisters, that in spite of all the false religions and false churches of our day, in spite of all the confusion and apostasy of our day, the Lord Jesus Christ is still at work and He is still building His church. The true shepherd is still gathering the flock to Himself. In our text for this afternoon, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the true sheep of God are called by Him and brought into the fold so that there may be one flock and one shepherd. There are not several flocks and there are not several shepherds. There is one flock, and that flock is gathered, defended, and preserved by the one shepherd. From John chapter 10, verses 14 to 21, and Article 27 of the Belgic Confession, we want to consider the Catholic or Universal Church. The Catholic or Universal Church. First, the shepherd of the church. Second, the enlargement of the church. Third, the opponents of the church. The shepherd of the church, the enlargement of the church, the opponents of the church. In John chapter 10, in his discussion with the Pharisees, Jesus used the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. Now, for a Jewish audience, the illustration was certainly not an uncommon one. The Old Testament is filled with this kind of symbolism. Perhaps one of the most familiar chapters in the Old Testament is Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yahweh is my shepherd." In Psalm 23, the Lord is acknowledged as the shepherd of His people. In Psalm 79:13, the psalmist said, "So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever." Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." Psalm 95:7, "He is our God, we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Jehovah is repeatedly called the shepherd of Israel and the shepherd of believers. But not only is the Lord called the shepherd of Israel, the spiritual leaders in the Old Testament are also called shepherds. Keep your finger in at John 10 and turn please to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Many times you read of how the spiritual leaders failed in their task, and God spoke of them as being evil shepherds. Evil shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Similarly, the prophet Jeremiah said, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. The Lord was extremely angry with the spiritual leaders of Israel when they neglected their task. Instead of protecting the sheep, they often devoured the sheep, and the Lord pronounced his curse upon them. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Now, what does this have to do with our present text? Well, actually, it is very pertinent. Let's look together at the context of John 10. Go back to John 10. There is really a very close connection between John 9 and John 10. John 9 is the story of a man who was born blind. When Jesus saw this blind man, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. Then he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The blind man went and washed and returned to Jesus seeing. When his neighbors and acquaintances saw that what had happened to him, they brought him to the Pharisees. The healing of the blind man created quite a stir among the Pharisees because the healing took place on the Sabbath. Rather than rejoicing in this incredible miracle, the Pharisees criticized Jesus, saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Furthermore, many of them did not even believe that the miracle occurred, and so they called in his parents, and they asked them, verse 19, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? The parents were afraid of the Pharisees because they knew that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore the parents said, yes, this is our son, and yes, he was born blind, but how he is now able to see, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. And so the Pharisees again called the man who was blind, and they said to him, give God the glory. We know that this Jesus is a sinner. The man who was blind replied, verse 25, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. The Pharisees continued to pester him until he said, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Brothers and sisters, it was at that point that the Pharisees what? Excommunicated him. He was cut off from the religious fellowship of Israel. The Pharisees, by this excommunication, showed themselves to be ungodly, unfaithful, false shepherds. They were evil shepherds who destroyed their own sheep. The prophet Ezekiel said, woe to the shepherds of Israel. With force and cruelty you have ruled them. Woe to the shepherds. The man who had been blind was excommunicated. But Jesus, the good shepherd, looked for him and found him. The Pharisees were false shepherds, but Jesus was the true shepherd. Chapter 10 is thus the logical and chronological continuation of chapter 9. Chapter 9 reveals the ungodly shepherds of Israel. Chapter 10 reveals the good shepherd. By calling himself the good shepherd, Jesus was not only contrasting himself with the bad shepherds of Israel, but he was also identifying himself with the divine shepherd of the Old Testament. Jesus is a shepherd of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. In claiming to be the good shepherd, Jesus was using the language of deity. John 10 can also be understood as the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34, verse 23, where the prophet said, "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Also, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of those marvelous Old Testament prophecies. He is the good shepherd. Verse 14 of John 10 says, "He knows his sheep and is known by his own." Jesus knows the name of each one of his sheep. He knows the needs of his sheep. He knows the nature of his sheep. He knows the many weaknesses and infirmities of the sheep. And the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. In verse 15, Jesus likens the mutual knowledge between him and his sheep to that between him and his Father. As the Father and the Son know each other in a very intimate way, so also the shepherd and the sheep know each other in a very intimate way. The fellowship between the Father and the Son is the pattern for fellowship between the good shepherd and his sheep. The sheep, of course, do not know the shepherd as well as the Son knows the Father. But the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep should be a reflection of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And brothers and sisters, what is it here that the good shepherd promises to do for his sheep? What is it here that the good shepherd promises to do for his sheep? Verse 15 says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The shepherd is so committed to his sheep that he's willing to lay down his life for their sake. As Jesus spoke these words to the Pharisees, he knew that he would soon have to face the cross. The only way to save the sheep was for the shepherd himself to lay down his life. This is precisely what makes him the good shepherd. Jesus was willing to yield his life as a voluntary sacrifice. He was willing to offer himself in the place of, instead of, and for the benefit of his sheep. Because of his great love for his sheep, he was able to endure the cross until the bitter end. And then notice, congregation, that the laying down of his life was not only for a few people. It was not only for his disciples. It was not only for those who had followed him up till now. In verse 16, Jesus goes on to speak about other sheep, which are not of this fold. That is, they are not of the fold of Judaism. The task of the good shepherd was not merely to deliver a few select sheep in Palestine. No, the task of the shepherd had a global focus. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus speaks here of the enlargement of the church. The enlargement of the church. The death of Jesus Christ is for those of every nation and tribe and tongue and people. The design of the atonement is limited, of course, to his sheep, but it is not limited to sheep within Palestine. Not all the sheep belong to the fold of ethnic Israel. Jesus died only for his elect, but his elect can be found throughout the world. And therefore, the task of the shepherd is certainly not limited to Palestine. Other sheep I have, them also I must bring. Notice that he says, I must bring. It is part of the divine plan. It is the thought here of a compelling necessity. A compelling necessity. The gospel needed to go forth to the Gentiles. That was God's design from eternity. That was his church building plan from eternity. Brothers and sisters, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ present us with a great truth that had been predicted on many pages of the Old Testament. Namely, that the flock of God would no longer be confined narrowly to the Jewish people. Jesus' words signal a turning point in the history of redemption. In the Old Testament, the church was confined largely to the nation of Israel. There were some outsiders that were engrafted into the vine, people like Rahab and Ruth and some of David's mighty men. In the Old Testament, there were a few Gentiles who were brought into the church, Naaman the Syrian, the Ninevites who repented at the preaching of Jonah. But generally speaking, the nations were subject to the powers of darkness. Jesus said that this was now going to change. As our Lord said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The church was going to expand so that the sheep of God would be gathered in from the four corners of the earth. It is not until the new covenant that the universality of the Christian church comes to its full realization. It is not until the new covenant that the universality of the Christian church comes to its full realization. Two chapters later, John chapter 12, certain Greeks came and wanted to see Jesus. You remember that story? In verse 32 of John 12, Jesus said, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw what? All peoples to myself. Yes, Greeks would be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ and added to his church. Jesus said that Greeks would be added to the flock. And how would Jesus bring in these other sheep? How would these other sheep hear the voice of the shepherd? Through the missionary endeavors of men like the Apostle Paul, that great missionary to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul and other missionaries proclaimed the gospel. The voice of the shepherd was heard among the nations. The voice of the shepherd sounded forth, bringing God's elect unto himself. The book of Acts tells the story of the triumphant march of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome and to the ends of the earth, the ends of the known world. The Old Testament, as I said, anticipated this day. The prophet Malachi said, from the rising of the sun to even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, said Malachi. Likewise, the prophet Isaiah said, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Malachi, Isaiah, and other prophets look forward to the time when the Gentiles would be called into the church. We see a fulfillment of this when Jesus said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go therefore and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We also see a fulfillment of this when Peter saw the vision of the unclean animals. At first, Peter did not want to touch them. But the Lord said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And then Peter received a confirmation of those words when the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius. We again see a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy when the Ethiopian eunuch was converted through the teaching of Philip. He went back to his country, a Christian. Yes, there were Gentiles who tasted of the Lord's goodness already in the Old Testament, the widow in Zarephath, Naaman the Syrian, and so on. There were Gentiles already then who were engrafted into the family of God. But what was a trickle in the Old becomes a flood in the New Testament. In the new dispensation, the Church of Christ breaks completely through the dikes of nationalism and flows out over the whole earth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, calls his own into the flock. They hear his voice, they know the sound of the shepherd, and they follow him. The Gentiles that turn to Jesus Christ are not inferior to the Jewish fold. They are not inferior sheep. They are not second-rate citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Not at all. The important thing is not whether a person is Jew or Gentile. The important thing is whether or not you hear the voice of the shepherd. Jesus Christ gathers both the sheep of Israel and the sheep of the Gentiles, and together they become one flock. Verse 16. There will be one flock and one shepherd. That which binds believers together is not their nationality or their position in society. The unity that binds believers together is one which arises because of their relationship to the one shepherd. You see, the Pharisees of Jesus' day thought that they were all set because they were of the fold of Israel. We're okay. We're of the fold of Israel. They had Abraham as their father. They thought they had no need of Jesus Christ. They were content without him. They missed the most important thing of all, namely hearing the voice of the shepherd and living in fellowship with him. Congregation, those who plug their ears to the voice of the shepherd will not be gathered into that one flock. The Son of God, out of the whole human race, gathers, defends, and preserves a church chosen to everlasting life. In order to be a living member of that church, you must hear the voice of the shepherd. You must hear the word as it is proclaimed. You must respond in faith and repentance. You must take hold of his promises and trust in his atoning death. It is by the word and spirit that sinners are drawn to the shepherd. It is by the word and spirit that the flock is drawn together. Unless you respond by faith to the word through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you will not be part of the eternal flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verses 17 and 18, Jesus goes back again to the subject of his death. The death of the good shepherd is crucial for the gathering in of the sheep. The death of Christ is the foundation of the church. Without it, the church could never be gathered, defended, and preserved. Jesus said in verse 17, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was an act of loving obedience to the Father. The Father loved him for it. The Father loved the Son because of His willingness to give His life for sinners. The road to Calvary was very difficult, but the Good Shepherd walked that road without wavering. And as He walked that road, He knew that He would not only die, but He would also rise again. I lay down my life that I may take it again. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Jesus' death was with a resurrection in view. He died in order that He might rise again. He voluntarily endured the agony of the cross, knowing that in due course He would rise triumphant over death. Jesus endured all these things, not for His own sake, but for the sake of His flock. 2,000 years after His death, that message is still being proclaimed throughout the world. And as the message of His death and resurrection is proclaimed, the sheep are being brought into that one flock. From every different nationality and language around the world, Christ is building His church. The Son of God, out of the whole human race, gathers, defends, and preserves for Himself a church chosen to everlasting life. The Belgian Confession says, Article 27, this holy church is not confined, bound, or limited to a certain place or to certain persons, but is spread and dispersed over the whole world, and yet is joined and united with heart and will by the power of faith in one and the same Spirit. Brothers and sisters, each faithful local congregation throughout the world is a visible expression of that one flock. God has His sheep all around the globe. If you have heard and responded to the voice of the shepherd and joined His church, then you are united with believers around the world. You may have different customs. You may have different skin color. You may speak a different language, but in Christ Jesus, you are part of the same flock. You are under the same shepherd. Don't ever think that the Church of Jesus Christ is confined to this little building. The Lord is calling His sheep from every nation. And don't think that the Church of Jesus Christ is confined to one denomination. I've had the privilege of worshiping with Christians under tarps propped up with sticks. So Rob and Diane had that experience recently as they went to Papua New Guinea. Their customs are totally different from our own. Their culture's very different. Their whole way of life is different. And yet, when I was there under that tarp, sticks propping it up, I heard the voice of the shepherd. We're united together in a common bond. As I sat there, I realized that we were united because we had both heard the voice of the shepherd. We were part of that same flock. Jesus died for His sheep. Jesus rose for His sheep. And Jesus now gathers, defends, and preserves His sheep by His word and Spirit. And so the question for you this afternoon is this. Have you heard His voice? Have you heard His voice? Have you responded by faith? Have you fallen before Him in worship? How you respond to the voice of the shepherd is crucial. It is crucial. In verses 19 to 21, we observe differing responses to the shepherd. As was often the case in the ministry of our Lord, His words created a division. Look with me, please, to verse 19. And here we see the opponents of the church. Point number 3, the opponents of the church. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He is a demon and is mad, insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Although Jesus had healed the blind man, there were still those who refused to acknowledge who he was. They said he was demon-possessed. They said he was insane. They said he was mad. They were convinced that he was controlled by an evil spirit. After all, no one in his right mind would talk about laying down his life in order to take it back again. No sane man would speak such words. No reasonable human would claim to have the power to raise himself from the dead. Anyone who would utter such nonsense must be under the control of an evil spirit. But congregation, there were others among the group who disagreed. They had listened to what Jesus said, and they could not be persuaded he was controlled by a demoniac. They were also favorably impressed with a miracle that Jesus had performed in the previous chapter. His words and his works left an impression upon them that could not be easily erased. Can a demoniac open the eyes of the blind? The contrast between these two groups, brothers and sisters, is the contrast that we find again and again in the history of the human race. Those who reject the voice of the shepherd find whatever they can to discredit the message of the gospel. They will use whatever excuse they can think of to reject the words of the shepherd's voice. Such people are not only hostile to the shepherd, but they are also the opponents of the church. Having rejected the shepherd, they reject the flock as well. In verse 20, those who dismissed Jesus' words said to those who were interested, "Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to him?" Later, after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, it was these kinds of people who resisted the growing church and opposed their message. They persecuted the disciples. They had them arrested. They did all that was in their power to hinder the growth of the church. Throughout history, opponents of Christ and his church have asked the question, "Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to him?" Little do they realize that it was not Jesus who had a demon, but all who oppose Jesus are directed by demons. The men of verse 20 were inspired by demons, and all those who have opposed Christ and his church throughout history have been inspired by demons, encouraged by demons, prompted by demons. The question, "Why do you listen to him?" is a demonically inspired question. The serpent said to Adam and Eve in the garden, "Why do you listen to him?" And Satan has been asking that question ever since. Satan does not want people to heed the voice of the shepherd. He does not want the flock of God to grow and increase. He doesn't want the church of Christ to continue from generation to generation and to spread throughout the world. He doesn't want those of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation to bow before the sovereign Lord and to give glory to him. And therefore, he continues to raise up opponents of Christ and the church who repeat the same question over and over and over again. Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to him? Wherever the gospel is proclaimed throughout the world, calling the sheep into the fold, Satan sends out his messengers who say, "Jesus is a madman. And to listen to him is madness. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a fool. Don't listen to his foolish words. Don't listen to Jesus. Why would you listen to such a madman?" Congregation, in spite of those who oppose Christ and his people, the Lord continues to build his church. When the Spirit of God begins to apply the word to the heart, the response is quite different from that which we find in verse 20. The true sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They take notice of his words and they respond in faith. They understand that Jesus is not a madman. He is the God-man. Jesus is not demon-possessed. He has come to destroy the works of the devil. As the gospel goes forth to the ends of the earth, there are those who say, these are not the words of one who has a demon. These are not the words of a madman. No, these are the words of the Good Shepherd. Dear friends, as we close this afternoon, I ask you again, have you heard the voice of the Shepherd? Has he drawn you into his fold? Have you expressed your commitment to the Church of Jesus Christ? Is it your delight to hear the voice of the Shepherd as he speaks to you today through his word? There are many misleading voices today who would turn you away from Christ and his church. Do not listen to their words. Do not follow them. Follow the Good Shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. Give yourself to his service. Call others into his flock. Labor for the building of his church. There is only one shepherd, and there is only one flock. Follow the Good Shepherd, serve him, and soon the day will come when the entire flock will be gathered in. The shepherd will return, and as one church victorious, we shall worship and praise the great shepherd of the sheep. As one church victorious, those gathered from every land, we will exalt the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Spirit we may hear the voice of the Shepherd. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for laying down your life for the sheep. We thank you that we may see your promises being fulfilled. O Lord, as you are drawing your sheep into the fold, not merely the sheep within Palestine, but your sheep who are in the uttermost parts of the earth, and that you are drawing in your elect, that there will be one flock and one shepherd. We look forward, O Lord, to the day when that gathering work will be complete, when the last sheep will be drawn into the fold, and the great shepherd will come to receive that flock unto himself. Lord our God, we pray that by your grace and mercy, each and every person here this afternoon would hear the voice of the shepherd, would be drawn into the flock, would love the shepherd and love the flock, and commit, each one, commit themselves to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, O Lord, acknowledge that it is a privilege, our privilege, to be part of the body of believers, to be part of the flock redeemed by Christ, guided continually by the Good Shepherd. Father, will you use us to draw others, to draw your sheep into the fold. And help us to understand, O Lord, the privilege of being part of the flock. And as we go forth sometimes, Lord, into other parts of the world, will you grant us that blessing and that joy of seeing the Good Shepherd gathering his sheep in every land, and gathering that flock in. And, O Lord, that we, as your people, may express our unity with those of every nation who have heard the voice of the Shepherd. And so we thank you for that Catholic universal church, that flock of the Lord Jesus that, oh Lord, cannot be destroyed. That even though we see so much today that may be contrary to your word, that we see cults and false churches and various spiritual movements that claim to be church of the Lord Jesus Christ but fail to show the marks of it, that even though we see that confusion, Lord, may we also be encouraged that your work will continue. Your sheep will be brought in, and your purposes will be completed. And so, Lord, will you keep us true to your word? Keep this local church here true to Scripture, that we may continue to hear our loving shepherd speak to us. Amen.